The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said to Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Please be seated. Well, I'm going to begin this morning with a little bit off topic and also with what I admit is a bit of prideful satisfaction. Realizing, of course, that that sort of thing is not exactly what I'm called up here to do, but as well-known theologian Will Rogers once said, among many others who said it, "It ain't bragging if it's true." And besides, I figure I have the whole rest of the sermon to make up for my transgression. But because all of us can't be at every Calvary event, and even if you could, you wouldn't know all the things that go on behind the scenes, I want to take a couple of minutes to extol a few recent events in the life of Calvary and the folks that helped make them happen. Last Sunday was our Commitment Sunday, the culmination of our stewardship season. We're well on our way to meeting our desired income for the year. If you haven't turned in your pledge cards, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. It means we're counting on those in addition to what we've received. And so we are well on our way. And thanks to our stewardship committee led by Kathy Haley, who not only took care of all the planning of speakers and got the letters out, the envelopes stuffed and all those things, but also organized the best stewardship dinner to date. A week ago Friday, almost 150 of us gathered and enjoyed the gifts of fellowship and fun and food at the Swinging Door restaurant. And we had the gift of hearing from a very talented storyteller, Kathy Colmer, who reminded us in her stories, both biblical and not, but stories that reminded us of the importance of community and the importance of sharing and the importance of treating our neighbors with kindness and respect. And we also at that dinner honored some folks from outside our church that were so instrumental in helping us complete the Harvey House project. And we saw a great video that was produced by Attack Poverty of that very work. And then came Thanksgiving, and once again we fed the hungry in Fort Bend County. Thanks to the leadership of Molly Powell and lots of others that helped in the kitchen and served and did dishes and the help of our neighbors and the help of other churches, we once again fed over 900 people, delivered meals to again this year. And the best part, and the reason that I bring all this up is that those things, our stewardship, our funding, working on the Harvey House, our cooking and delivering Thanksgiving dinners, all of those things were acts of love. And I'm proud of us, proud of you. And I pray that our acts of kindness born out of a love for our neighbors is well-pleasing in God's sight. And that's the truth. And speaking of the truth, a key word in our in our reading today and in my sermon, speaking of the truth and returning to our gospel from John on this Christ the King Sunday, we find Jesus in, of all places, standing in front of Pilate, waiting to hear his fate. He's been delivered there by the Jewish authorities, who charge that he is claiming authority even above that of Caesar. And as we listen into this conversation between Jesus and Pilate, we hear Pilate struggling to understand exactly this mess that he's faced with. The contradiction between what he sees right there in front of him, and what he's being told about the so-called King of the Jews. King of the Jews, King of Kings. Those are interesting titles. We say them, we sing them. They're in a lot of our hymns. But in this context of this room in which Jesus is with Pilate, they're not very descriptive of him, are they? Not as he stands there meekly in front of Pilate with his head down and in his poor clothes. In fact, the two men couldn't be more opposite. Pilate is the powerful governor of Judea who reports directly to the emperor of Rome. He has the authority to decide whether Jesus lives or dies. And Jesus, peasant carpenter and prophet, eyes down, plainly dressed, nothing about him looks kingly at all, does it? No wonder we hear Pilate ask, "You are King of the Jews? Why? How? What have you done?" We can almost hear the bewilderment and the scorn in his voice, not just for Jesus, but for the whole nation of Israel, that its people would be so desperate as to imagine that this man is its king. So Pilate questions aloud how this lowly person could ever be a serious threat to Roman government or to his authority. After all, in Pilate's world, might is right. He lives in a compound with a few thousand soldiers that are ready to respond instantly to anything that he orders. He has a powerful position in the Roman Empire, and in his world, there are only two ways of measuring power. Number one is the size of your army, and number two is the size of your wealth. And here is Jesus, who obviously has neither of them. I doubt that Pilate could recognize an authority that isn't accompanied by an army or by a surplus of riches with which to buy influence. So I think he scoffs at that notion of Jesus as king. But Jesus is not the king of might. Instead, Jesus tells Pilate, "My kingdom's not from this world. My authority comes not from the emperor, but from God. My kingdom is the kingdom of truth." The kingdom of truth. And Pilate's response, which is in the very next verse, but that we don't read in our lectionary text, Pilate's response to that is, "What is truth? What is truth?" And indeed, I think that Pilate has stumbled onto the question for the ages when it comes to kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, because I don't know a person that doesn't have some doubt at some point in their lives about what is this? How can I really believe all that it is that I hear about this Jesus Christ person? Well, you might remember that a couple of weeks ago I talked about the Reverend Fleming Rutledge. She was one of our speakers at clergy conference, and remember, she encouraged us preachers to speak more of the truth of Christ, to talk more about the divinity of Jesus, Jesus the Son of God, and not just tell those good stories or parables about the sacrificial and wondrous things that Jesus the man did. And in her new book about Advent, she has some things to say about the truth of Christ the King. And she also admits that the notion of Jesus' kingship can be as difficult for us to comprehend or understand as it must have been for Pilate. Therefore, she says, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose not to believe that Jesus is Lord and Messiah and one with God. But if so, we must at least acknowledge that it is what the Bible says. She says, no one can be forced to believe the Bible, but it's not right to try to make it say what it clearly does not say. If we want to read the Bible as the religious thoughts of human beings, we can certainly try to do that. But if that's what we do, we must realize that we're ignoring the entire foundation that the church's book is built on. That foundation, i.e. that truth, is that the Bible is nothing less than the Word of God. And without that truth, my brothers and sisters, we are but a social club. And that truth is the power that Jesus the Christ claims before Pilate. And he says, everyone that belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Everyone belongs to that truth, listens to my voice. And what truth, or what truths do we hear when we listen to his voice? Well, we hear the truth that material riches are no substitute for the riches of our church community. And we hear the truth that using the Bible as a rule book, trying to earn God's favor by following the law of Moses, does not of itself bring salvation. And we hear the truth that all life ends in death. And that only through a relationship with God in Christ can we have eternal life. Jesus Christ says that in the kingdom over which he is king, we are not to store up earthly treasures, because this very day, our life may be demanded of us. We are instead to be rich toward God. So the cost of discipleship, the cost of belonging to the truth, the cost of belonging to Jesus' kingdom is high. Because in order to belong, Jesus says we must forsake the values of the world and embrace him as the way, the truth, and the life. So today, as we pass the peace in our Calvary community, as we gather at the altar to share at the Lord's Supper together, I invite you to consider what sort of community, what sort of kingdom we are forming here. Is Calvary just a kingdom of good-hearted folks who are friendly and get along well with others, but who actually have more in common with Pilate's world than we do with the kingdom for which Jesus is willing to die? Or do we strive to be a kingdom that's not of this world? A kingdom in which the rule and reign of Jesus Christ is present. A kingdom in which Jesus can be seen in the way we live our lives and treat each other. In the way we walk our talk. Look at how Jesus testifies to the truth. Pilate may have the upper hand in the sense that he has the power to decide Jesus' earthly fate. But when Jesus stands before Pilate, he is without fear. He's without fear, and when he's without fear, he effectively takes Pilate's power away from him. The contrast between the two is clear. Pilate, who is faithful only to the expediency of protecting his position and power, and Jesus, who is faithful to his God, and therefore fearless before his aggressors. So who is really the more powerful of the two? Whose kingdom do you want to be in? We live in a world that seems to be filled with hate and fear. Every day, I think I read about an act of evil or terrorism. And the goal of those hateful acts is always one thing. That's to make us afraid, to cause us to be fearful of living our lives in a way that which we might boldly proclaim who we are. That's how evil wins. That's how evil always wins. When we begin to live and act out of fear, and not out of love, and not out of the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. The kingdom of God is here and now, and it's present in everyone who hears and believes the truth of the testimony of Jesus. I pray that Calvary will fearlessly proclaim that kingdom to the ends of the earth.